Thanks for joining us. All right, we're going to go ahead and roll into our post-race press conference here at Michigan International Speedway following today's NASCAR Cup Series race. We have now been joined by Chris Gale and Heather Gibbs. Heather is representing the owners and Chris is the crew chief. Congratulations to you both on this victory with Denny. We will go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We're going to get a mic to you and we're going to start up front with Zach. Zach, if you don't mind to keep your hand raised. Thank you.
Test.
Hello.
Looking for a button and I'm like, I don't know where the button is. Hopefully it's on.
Some weeks we have buttons, some weeks we don't.
Zach Sterniel at NASCAR.com. Chris, at what point did you guys know for sure that you had enough? And in that last stretch, when the 77 and 24 are saving as hard as they are, how important was it for you guys to push that pace?
Well, I mean, I knew we had enough when we left pit road. I mean, I knew what I was putting in. I knew what lap it was going to be. Okay, here's the three caution laps we're going to get. Here's the fuel mileage all day. Based on previous runs and pace that we've had, I felt confident we were good there. We really didn't save fuel, and I didn't ask him to save fuel really on that final run. I asked him if he got in a spot where he couldn't pass someone. Don't unnecessarily use fuel. More if there was a green-white checkered or something like, and you need to stack and stay out. Okay, I wanted the ability to do that. So I was fine with it, knew we were okay the whole time. You know, this did pivot a little differently, right? We only needed one can on that final stop. A lot of guys, I think, needed two. Someone will have to clarify for me because I wasn't able to see 24 and all those guys how many cans they took. I know they were talking about needing to wait on fuel. So I had an idea that everybody else is getting ready to wait on fuel. I think I can do it on one can. So I'm like, we might be can get the lead off pit road right here with the situation the way it is. Now, unfortunately, right, the stop was bad. So it wasn't a weight on fuel. I think he missed the plug on, missed the jack on the left side, and the gun was turned wrong on the left rear. So I think what could have been, right, they've done some 8-0 stops, could have been that. It was a 10-8, I think, if I go back and look. So this kind of, I told Denny, this is where you have the situations where some weeks they win us the race, they made a mistake, and we still won them the race, right? So it kind of works both ways and kind of shows you the team's aspect of it.
All right, additional questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Roy Akers, Skyview Sports. Chris, knowing that you had enough fuel, was your strategy kind of to drive the leaders in front that you knew that were short on fuel kind of out of fuel, like Byron and Hosevar?
For sure, right? There's two outcomes, right? You're going to push from the beginning if you know you're on fuel once you catch them. They either are going to decide they're going to let you go because they need to save fuel enough to make it. Okay, well, then you're in the lead. And even if we were, you know, I thought we were good on fuel, but if we'd gotten the lead earlier, we would have just maintained the gap and saved fuel at that point. Or you're going to push, they're not going to give you the lead, and then you're going to run them out, right? So either way works out in your favor. You never know if their numbers are fully right. And if they're, I mean, you think you're hearing them, so you know what they're telling them and how short they think they are. But, you know, we went into turn one after the race. He did a burnout, went down to 3 and 4 and did a burnout, I think. So we probably had another lap and a quarter of more fuel than we thought we did. And so when you're kind of figuring all that, you know, maybe these guys can go a little further than they're saying. So you're always worried about that.
All right, Bob.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports. Heather, what's it like watching that as a team owner and a mom with both your cars there and trying to figure out, okay, who needs to save and who doesn't?
I think, obviously, Denny, being the veteran, knows, you know, how to capitalize on saving fuel the most. I think for Ty, you know, just having a run up there, they were kind of in the front, then they're in the back, and then they were back and forth all day. So it was a long day, but just to have them up there was exciting. And I think left him, you know, a little bit of bitter leaving just because you can see them and you have to back off. But just great to have them finish. I mean, that was thrilling, and, you know, and I was like, oh, come on, don't let the 24 win. So I was like, let's go.
Let's don't 11 and 54 both run out of fuel, right?
That's right. Exactly. And then, as you know, they were explaining to Ty, and then they're like, as the 24 ran out, they're like, that's why you got to back off. So there's so much to learn. I mean, it's so hard. Sundays are hard. I was just talking to Gabe Hart about that. It's really hard, to learn, and just so much to try to take in, and all the veterans have so much experience, and every race you just get a little bit more knowledge and understanding and try to capitalize on it. But hopefully the momentum will move forward. We're It was a great day.
And Denny, no matter what's going on around him, seems to thrive and amid a little chaos.
I mean,
like, are you nervous? Like, are you like, gosh, should he go home? Should he not go home? Do you worry about
that? That's me.
That?
I'm being nervous and worrying. And my first stint with Denny here, like, man, he doesn't seem to care one way or the other, or at least gives you that feel.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's funny because I have four and I'm like, they don't really do anything. So when he gets home, he'll be home, but it was good, you know, and he kind of thrives in chaos. I know,
it's
right?
It's coming from mom, not...
Sorry, I know. But it was true, you know, I mean, I think we wanted to get him in the car, you know, we made it to Sunday. And so it was, I joked with Chris. I'm like, I think we, you know, we'll try to make it to a certain point and then we won't talk to him. And I'm like, just go.
I think that's
it.
What he decided, right? Lap 50 or end of stage one, we had kind of gotten the, if he gets the call from home by then, he'll get out. Truex will get in. But if we got past stage one, he's just running it to the end and tell him at the end of the race and we'll handle it then.
He's as cool as they come, that's for sure.
Jordan?
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for Chris, or to your right. Mm-hmm. Your pit stops, it looks like on the green flags, you had a crew member kind of designed to catch the fuel man. Is that right?
Yeah, that was the first stop.
Okay, and that was intentional because just to prevent a penalty?
Yeah, I think we've seen others do this. When you're doing a situation to where fuel only is where you normally see it, like at speedways where you'll see some other teams have a guy to catch the fueler in case he's caught or whatever, starts to lose a can, right, to keep it in the box and keep the guy from going across the line. That's not exactly the way this played out, but he was supposed to wait on fuel, right? Denny was. He decided he was going to audible and not wait on fuel. So, of course, the fueler's not ready when he takes off, right? And he said that was on him when he left. And thankfully, the other crew member was smart enough that when they finished the four-tire stop, he kind of got in the position in case that happened because they practice it for fuel-only stops. So it worked out. It was needed this time.
And then Denny said this in his post-race, you know, front-stretch interview. You guys have had a lot of speed. You haven't had necessarily the finishes over the last four or five races, but you've had speed. So do you look at the finishes and say, man, this is tough? Or do you just look at the speed and say, as long as we keep bringing fast race cars, we're fine?
Yeah, I mean, I look at the speeds mostly. But specifically, right, we've had speed all except North Wilkesboro. North Wilkesboro, we were terrible, right? I write that one off as that we need to do something better there. If you throw that away, thankfully it wasn't a points race. You know, you have a motor failure at Texas. You have a clutch failure. Those things, I mean, are not really within my control. You know, there's some TRD. There's some collaboration there, but it's not fully in our control. So I don't feel too bad about that. If we were slow and ran bad all day and then the motor blew, okay, I marked that down as, man, we got to work on our car. But I don't think that's been the case anywhere outside of North Wilkesboro this year. So you know if you just eliminate those type of things, you're going to continue to break through the more and more you do it, right? The more you put yourself in position, you're going to hit some of them and you're going to finish them out.
All right. Any additional questions? Okay, we'll take one in the back.
Ms. Krause from the Drum Gazette. Congratulations. My question is just on Denny and with everything he's sort of gone through with sort of baby watch and this 2311 stuff the past few weeks, how have you guys seen his focus on the performance with the 11 car? How has he sort of stayed focused on that when it comes to race weekends and then throughout the week?
I haven't seen any difference, to be quite honest with you. We kind of have a weekly schedule that's the same where he comes in for meetings on a certain day. We post do our simulation work. After those meetings on Monday, he shows up on a Wednesday to do the simulation for the week of, and nothing's really changed. We don't sit and talk about the 2311 stuff at all. We talk about more of the 11 car and what's going on with it and what he needs at that specific race or something that happened from, you know, the previous race. And that really, I haven't seen any difference. You know, the only conversations we've had is baby watches. Okay, who are we going to get to fill in? What do we specifically need to change if he was to get out of the car? What would be his plans in that case? The timing of things. Hey, I got to know by here to get stuff in the car if you're not going to show up. You know, it's that kind of thing.
All right, Jordan, go ahead.
Sorry, quick question. This is either for one of you. Going to road course next week, is Ryan Truex still the reserve driver in case? I didn't know if it changed because it is a road course.
It doesn't change. Okay. No, as of right now. Man. Surely we can have that baby delivered this week, right before Mexico. I don't know. I have no control of it, but I'm hoping we don't have to do that again next week.
All right, if we can get a microphone to Dustin.
That's a long flight home. I don't think you can just overnight do that quickly as you can here, right?
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Hey, Chris, which crew member was it that caught the fueler?
I'd have to go back and watch. I think it was Dylan Dowell, who was our carrier.
Okay. I know you've worked with a variety of drivers. You work with some young drivers. We're watching Carson Hocevar go through a lot of things here, even in the last 3 weeks, but certainly in the last few months. And, you know, I think about how fast he's been, but I think about all the gut punches. When you work with a young driver, what are the challenges of the ups and downs? I know Ty won early, and so it was maybe a little, it's not the same thing, but what is going, you know, how do you treat somebody like that, and what's Luke facing?
I think it's conversation, right? Just like what we just talked about engines blowing and things beyond your control, right? Any situation that happens, even good, there's something to learn in it, right? So can you have those conversations afterwards about what you did, good and bad, and the things that you can't control and you had zero influence over, you got to learn to let go of those things, right? There's nothing you can do about it. I actually heard Denny say that when someone asked him about the engine stuff. Or maybe it was in one of our comp meetings a couple weeks ago, and he was like, I don't worry about that kind of stuff. I just can't do anything about it. So, yes, it cost me maybe a win at Kansas, but what can I do about it, you know? Let it linger and bother me until the point that I'm not focused where I need to be the next week? Then it beat me twice. Yeah, so that's the kind of thing.
What do you worry about with Mexico next week?
Rain, and it looks like rain's potential all 3 days, right?
Why are you worried about that?
Mostly just because Denny's like worried about the wet and not being very good in the wet at road courses. I know he set on 3 road course poles. Was this 2023, I think? So I know he has speed at road courses, but he himself will tell you that's his weakness, right? Not necessarily Sonoma or Watkins Glen, right? Because he has so many more reps there than other drivers, but a new course, he just tells you he struggles with that. So my only concern is that, and then you do the challenge of rain at a new course. It's going to be a challenge for everybody, right? Nobody has any experience here, so that does level the playing field. But that's my biggest concern right now, just rain. Just the complexity of that, too, and tires and off course and what may happen. There's so many things we don't know as well about the cooling and how hot are we going to run at that elevation. But we have plans in place to address that.
All right. Any final questions? All right. Well, congratulations again. Heather, you're welcome to come back anytime. Congratulations again on that win.